is Tyler. I'm the next gen pastor here at Lone Star, and it's a privilege to be able to come and speak. So thankful that Pastor Andy and Pastor Darla have such an amazing team, and they allow me to come up here and talk to you guys. So you guys said you guys are ready for what the Lord has for us today, so we're going to go to the Word of God to do that. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to Psalm chapter 46, and we're going to be examining spiritual formation through the lens of this psalm, and we're going to be looking at other supporting scriptures. The title and what we're going to talk about today is Be Still, Know, and Pray. Be still, know, and pray. So as I was getting ready for this message, the Lord convicted me and really spoke to me. So a couple weeks ago, while at dinner, my wife and I, we got into an argument. Like, how many of you guys have those stern conversations? You know what I'm talking about? Like those ones that you're like, we're not fighting, but we're talking very sternly. You know what I mean? So that's what that was. And our oldest, Hudson, he was not liking the conversation. He was like, stop, guys, stop arguing, stop fighting. And so we got through it. We got to the end of it. And my wife and I, we got through that conversation. We put the kids to bed. A couple days later, Hudson, we were sitting at the dinner table again. And Hudson looks at me and he goes, Dad, it's a sin to be mad and talk to mom like that. I'm like, buddy, you're right. Like, your mom and I talked, and I said, sorry. And he goes, Dad, you got to be calm and confident. And I'm like, man, where's this kid getting this word from? And so I'm getting ready for this message about prayer and spiritual formation. So I'm like, man, maybe God gave my son a word. Like, let me ask him where he got this calm and confident business from. And so I'm like, Hudson, where did you learn that? Did you learn from children's church or like when you were talking to God? And he goes, no, I learned it from my breathing exercises. I'm like, man, what type of kid are we raising? Like I said, today we're going to look at spiritual formation through this lens. And my message is for the church today. And the hope is that we need to be still, we need to know God, and we need to pray. Because too many times, what we do is we don't do those three things. And we're the opposite of calm and confidence. And we get worked up for the smallest of things, worked up and get mad at the people that we love and the people that are around us because we're not still before the Lord. We don't know God and we don't pray. So Psalm chapter 46, it says right in the beginning, for the choir director, a song of the descendants of Korah to be sung by soprano voices. So be prepared for my soprano voice. Just kidding. That's not going to happen. But this is what it says. Verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Man, that's what I need. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city and it cannot be destroyed. Guys, wherever God dwells, it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. Pay attention to this verse, this is important. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. I want to pause there for a little bit and then we're going to read on. But how many of you, when you look at our city, at our nation, at the world, you would say, man, there's a lot of chaos going on. And I don't know what to do. I'm worried for my kids and what they're learning in school, or I'm worried about the next generation that's coming. And there's a lot of chaos that's going on in our nation around the world. I'm here to tell you today that we may be fearful, but God is not. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us, and the God of Israel is our fortress. Come on now, isn't that amazing? Come and see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth, and he breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. This is the famous part of this psalm. Be still and know that I am God. In the midst of chaos that the nations bring, in the midst of the chaos and frenzy and the worry within your own heart, in the decisions that you have to make, in the raising of your children, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Stillness is an invitation for the Prince of Peace to rule over each and every one of us. Prayer is the posture that we need to get into to allow stillness, calmness to enter our lives. Prayer. Prayer is hard. Am I right? Come on now. Like, if you were here, if you're being honest in this place, how many are you just like me and you're like, man, praying is so difficult? You know, we live in a fast-paced culture, right? A consumeristic culture that's trying to sell you this and give you that. It's trying to provide the cheap instant gratification in your life, and you're telling me to find stillness, to find peace, I gotta pray? Like, I want it right now. It can be hard. Not only that, in our consumeristic culture, is prayer hard? But if you're like me, prayer can be awkward. I'm just being honest. Like, how many of you guys have been in a Bible study or in someone's home and you've been called on to pray and your heart starts beating like a million miles a minute? You're like, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen to me. Like, praying in this moment is just as bad as public speaking. Is anybody there with me? It can be tough because a lot of times when we think of prayer and we think about coming before God, we think that we have to have these certain words and these certain sayings for prayer to work. But the cool thing is when I read my Bible and I go through the Psalms and I read Psalms like the one I just read and other ones, I see David, a sinner, someone who killed another man to sleep with that man's wife, was honest in his prayer before our Father. He had moments where he was crying before God, asking, why is this happening? Other moments where he was lamenting and saying, God, just smite me down because I'm the worst sinner of them all. And then other moments where he was just singing praises before God. Prayer. I've heard it said this way, pray as you can, not as you can't. So as we have this conversation about spiritual formation and mainly prayer, I don't want you to get bogged down on, I gotta do this, because we're gonna talk about some practices that I wanna encourage you to do. But just pray as you can, and don't try to be someone else when you pray. Just talk to God. Or maybe the other thing about prayer is maybe you're a real saint and you've tried to teach your kids how to pray. Oh my gosh. If you're a parent, you know how difficult that is to get your kids to pray. So let me tell you about the other day. So the other day we were at the table and I was like, Hudson, our oldest crazy little boy who convicted me not too long ago, I said, hey Hudson, can you please pray for dinner? He proceeds to hit his brother. And then frenziness and chaos starts to go through the dinner table. Crew's crying, Hudson's laughing that he hit his brother. Me and Megan are like, oh my gosh, this is chaotic. And I'm thinking, where did these children come from? And then we get everybody calmed down. And Hudson, can you please pray? No, Dad, I don't want to pray. Okay. All right. Hudson, can you please pray? And then Hudson smiles. And he goes, oh, sure, Father, I can pray. And he goes, dear Octopus Jesus, thank you, God, for all the animals. Please make more of them. Amen. Prayer is so hard. So So what do we do? What do we do with this? What do we do with this thing called prayer in the midst of all of our chaos and frenzy and kids and life and trying to find quiet time before God when we're working and when we're doing the chores around our house? What do? We be still. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And I just saw so many faces in the audience go, are you kidding me? That is your answer to the frenzy, to the chaos of life, is to be still. Like, be still when I go from work to then having to work at home and take care of the animals, to make sure the field is right, to make sure that my kids are all good, to go from work to making sure my little ones stay alive. Be still and my kid wrecks my car. Are you kidding me? Be still. My spouse is sick. Be still. I just had someone that I care about die. Be still. And some of you guys, be still. And I just looked at Facebook and I saw the apocalypse is happening tomorrow when the eclipse happens. Like, are you kidding me? All my friends are worried and I don't know what to do because the eclipse is... Be still. Unlocking this idea of stillness in our spiritual formation, our life with God, is key. And the reason being is because it's counterculture. Let me explain. So the light bulb, that's a like important invention. It was invented in 1879. Before the invention, the average American would sleep 10 hours a night. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Some of you are like, get rid of the light bulbs. Please, we need them. In 1967, a Senate subcommittee predicted that by 1985, the average American would work only 22 hours a week for 27 weeks a year. That's not the last time the Senate subcommittee got it wrong, right? And they thought that because, yeah, I know, I'm with you though, Caleb. Amen. Let's bring that about. And they predicted that because the newfound technologies that we found ourselves coming about our lives. However, the reality was much different. Since the 1980s, the average time people spend on leisure has actually decreased. While technology has advanced and saved time as predicted, the subcommittee misjudged how people would utilize their newfound leisure. And this is why the smartphone, the iPhone. The iPhone was created in 2007. And a study conducted in 2019 revealed that the average iPhone user, so those Android users, you guys are saints, so don't pay attention to this part. The average iPhone user touches their phone approximately 5,234 times a day, spending over 5 hours daily staring at their screens. That was in 2019, so that's a little outdated. Rather than using this technology to slow down and gain more in life, to take back time, to spend time with their children, to spend time in stillness with God, we have developed what health professionals called hurry sickness. I'm in church. What's going on around me? I'm in this meeting. I don't want to be here, so let me look at my phone and see what's going on. Oh my gosh, my kid is screaming their head off. Let's get distracted. We are constantly in hurry and frenzy, looking from one thing to the next to be a part of because of our fast-paced culture and society. So what do we do with this? What do we do in this life that we've created, this frenzy? When in the midst of chaos and frenzy, we try to pray, but what we're doing is we're offering God token gestures while just continuing to stay in the chaos of life. What I want to do is I want to look at David and I want to look at the sons of Korah, because here's the thing. Despite facing tribal warfare and the challenges of governing a kingdom, they embraced a prayerful posture before God. See, as we lay down to rest, and as we think of our day and our deadlines that we have to meet and our bills that we have to pay and our endless responsibilities that we have to do and all the to-do lists that we find ourselves worrying about, David too wrestled with governing a kingdom in the midst of warfare, in the midst of anarchy from his own son. Yet remarkably, he made time for stillness before God. It was his consistent practice of stillness that enabled him to gain insight into the life, into his life from God's perspective. Be still, release control. Some of you guys need to hear that today. That's the most important thing you need to do. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of all the things that you, in all the directions that you're being pulled, work, family, some of you guys are influencers and you got to influence the people on social media and they will miss what you post if you don't post. In the midst of all of that, be still, release control. That's where prayer starts. A psychiatrist did a study and found that the two most important times for our brain's development is in the morning when we wake up, in the evening right before we go to sleep. I don't know about you guys, but I know lots of times right before I go to sleep, I'm catching up on some Netflix, I'm looking at social media, and I'm not praying and in stillness before God. And in the morning, I'll find myself opening my phone and looking at the latest news and what's going on and the state of our government and the election and all of that stuff. And then we wonder, why are we so frenzied and full of anxiety? Because two of the most important times for our brain development and for God to move in our hearts and our minds, we're preoccupied by watching quasi-pornographic images on Netflix, and we're cluttering our mind with the chaos of this world in the morning. Be still. So I want to leave you with two practices on this first point. The first is silence. Woo! Some of you guys, when I said that, you're stressing out. You're like, silence? I constantly need to be doing something. But I want to challenge you. Have times of silence where you say, God, I'm going to sit in silence before you. You may speak to me, you may not, but I want to give this time to you. You know when I do that? Because here's the thing, guys, it's hard to do those things, but I do that right after I drop my kids off at school and I'm driving to work. I pray as I'm driving, Lord, with my eyes open, I pray, Lord, I'm going to be silent before you the rest of this car ride. Speak to me. And it's so refreshing. It is so powerful what God has done in my life because of that practice. The other thing is takes a little bit more work, but again, pray as you can, not as you can't, so don't try to do these things overnight. The other thing is try to find 3 times a day to pray. It may be in the morning when you sit in stillness before God on your car ride. At lunch is when I get to do it, so I pray a structured prayer before God every day, and maybe try to pray for your family at night. Try to find those sweet moments where you just pray before God and see what God can do in your life. Okay, stillness, we're good with that. Let's move on. What's next? Know God. Be still and know that I am God. The verse that really helped me out to know who God is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. It starts out at the end of verse 5. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know God? Like, do you know him? Do you get to know him and spend time with him daily? Or is your knowledge of God based upon one moment that happened years ago at youth camp, kids camp, last week? but then your knowledge of God has been what someone else had said from here, rather than you sitting in the stillness and finding out who God is. Do you know him? In a few moments, I'm going to share my testimony, but I feel like I'm not the only one in this room when I say, when I have prayed, I always found myself doing and matching the culture in which I found myself in, the busyness, the hurry, the muchness, matching what verse 6 in Psalm 46 says, the nations of God are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. So I would go from speaking in front of people and talking about God to not knowing him because I didn't have a quiet time with him, to then trying to make things happen and live on mission for him, yet not knowing him because my mission was based upon something that God spoke to me years earlier, but wasn't actively pursuing him in my life in that moment. Knowing God. I love this. To know God is to rest in the stillness of God in prayer and to simply let ourselves to be loved by God. Some of you in this room need to just simply be loved by God because you're broken. You're lost. You're confused. You don't know what to do. In a few moments, we're going to open up this place for prayer and worship, but allow yourself to be known by God by saying, God, I just need you. I need you in this place because without you, I'm broken and I'm lost. Be still and know that I am God. Let me explain to you the history of the book of Psalms because it's quite fascinating and how Israel, even in the midst of writing Psalms and following God, really didn't know God. Psalms, they were originally written in 5 books. It's really interesting. The first 2 books chronicle the reign of King David and Solomon, and that's Psalms chapters 1 through 72. Book 3 tells of the dark days of the divided kingdoms and their eventual destruction. That's Psalm 73 through 89. Book 4 recalls the Babylonian exile during which the Israelites had to rethink their identity as God's people. And that's Psalm 90 through 106. And the last book, Book 5, celebrates the community's restoration to the land and the sovereignty of God over them. You see, what happened is they were taken into exile, but then the Persian government allowed the Jewish people to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem and to resume their religious practices, so long those practices did not conflict with Persian law. The temple was restored, but the nation state of Israel, ruled by the Davidic king, was not. And that's Psalms 105 through 150. I tell you that because here is a story of a nation knowing God and not knowing God. They saw signs and great works done by God. They had a king in place to help lead the nation and talk to God on their behalf. Yet, as we see through their history, Israel ended up losing sight in the very worship and stillness with God. They turned their back from desiring God to desiring a physical king to rule over them. And I'm afraid that too many times in our American mindset, consumeristic mentality, we do the same thing. We know who God is. And we want to worship him and pray to him and serve him. But sometimes a physical leader and king is more important than God leading our lives. And we see it in our daily practices. Oh, man, I'm so stressed because of what's happening in the White House. I'm so stressed because of this taking place in our community. I'm so stressed because of this. Rather than saying, you know what? It doesn't matter who sits on the throne, the earthly throne, but it matters who sits on the heavenly throne, and that is King Jesus. That is King Jesus. And when I sit in the stillness of King Jesus, it doesn't matter which Republican or Democrat or whoever else sits in the White House, but if King Jesus is sitting on the throne and he's leading your heart, then you will experience the stillness of God. in the unhurried love of God. Dallas Willard, a theologian, said this to describe Jesus. Some students of his asked him, if you could describe Jesus in one word, what would that word be? He said, unrushed. Jesus, full of love, full of mission from God. Because here's the thing, he had the ultimate mission to come down and save each and every one of us from our sins, to save us from the eternal separation from God, to die on the cross, yet he was unrushed, always making room for prayer with the Father and community. And I say that because I believe there's people in this room, you need to know who Jesus is. And in a few moments when the worship team comes up here and we're gonna worship him, we're gonna have some people up here that will be more than happy to pray with you about who King Jesus is. And so I wanna, when we get to that point, I wanna invite you to come up to this place to know and accept King Jesus over your life. So why is this message important to me? This idea of prayer and stillness and our posture before God, it's because of this. Prayer changed my life. Prayer changed everything for me. So when I was a young boy in children's church, I accepted Jesus to be my savior. I accepted the king of the universe into my life. A couple years later, when I was 14 years old, I went on a missions trip to Guayaquil, Ecuador. And while on that missions trip, God spoke to me while I was walking up this mountain, and he called me into full-time ministry. And I was ecstatic. I was excited to be used by God and to be in relationship with him. I got back home from this missions trip, and I was so ecstatic about inviting the stillness of God into my heart and sharing that love of Jesus with others. I invited that lifestyle. I invited that my football team, the people that I was with, into that lifestyle. So every single week, I would pray with them in the locker room. And every single week before the football game, we would pray together as a football team right in the center of the field. And that was in Communist California, so come on now, praise God. That was amazing. Yeah, God moved. Fast forward to 2020. I had already been in ministry for a couple years. I was a discipleship pastor at a church. Yet, just because you're a pastor, just because you are in the pulpits, just because you lead people in relationship with God does not mean that your relationship with God is solid unless you're actively pursuing him. Because here I was in 2020, stressed out of my mind because I would share about this faith that I learned about and experienced years earlier, but in that moment, I was not actively pursuing. I'm ashamed to say. Here I was leading people in faith, but not truly having a faith myself. And so what did that bring me? That brought me panic attacks. I would wake up in the middle of the night crying, stressed. Not only that, but I would wake up with fear, no joy. I would come home every single day with just no joy in my life because I was being a fake. Stress from that, feeling broken, unknown. That I was a misfit, a miscast. And the reason being is because here I was telling people about God, but yet I had not experienced God. I had not talked to God. I had not sat in that stillness with God for years. And I share that story with you because I want to be honest and raw with you. But also because that's real, and I bet you there's some people in this room that are experiencing that same thing. That feeling of, I present one thing when I go to church on Sunday, but in the everyday, the mundane, I don't know who God is. I don't talk to him. And so what happens? In the midst of a panic attack, in the midst of feeling broken, unashamed, or ashamed, and feeling miscast, misplaced, that I was in the wrong spot, the wrong place that God had called me to be in, I reached out to God in prayer. And I said, God, I am not meant for this. God, you have the wrong person. God, I am broken. I am a misfit. I am miscast. And my God gave me two words. The first one was a word of conviction. When Jesus came to this world in unhurried love, who did he convict? He convicted the spiritual leaders who said they had it all together, but on the inside, they didn't have it together. So boom, conviction right over me. And what was the second thing he did? And the second thing he told me was that he came for the broken. He came for the misfits. He came for the people that feel like they're miscast, misplaced, that they don't have anywhere else to go but King Jesus. And so here I was in a posture of prayer saying, God, in my brokenness, I surrender to you. I give you my life because I can't do this without you. If you came and you ministered to the lepers, to the outcasts, the tax collectors, minister to my heart in this moment. And from that day forward, I have been in a posture of prayer, a prayer and a stillness that has forever changed my life because the God of stillness reigns over me. Philippians 4:5-7, the Lord is near. The fact that Lord is near transformed my life. Transformed my everyday. And I want you to think of that in your moments throughout your day, when you're going about your business, the way you talk to people, the way that you interact with people, the way in which you stop and you pray, remember that the Lord is near. And that'll change maybe how you interact with people. That will change how you pray to God. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So a practice I want to leave you with is a practice of prayer posture. When you pray, this is just a suggestion, and again, you don't have to do it, but put yourself in a posture before God. So maybe do something like this. Lord, I put my hands up and surrender to you. Lord, I surrender my day to you. I surrender my conversations to you. I surrender my family. I surrender my business to you. Lord, I give you this day. Maybe another thing you would do is put your hands out like this. Lord, I opened up my hands to you in a closed fist culture. In a culture that wants to take, Lord, give me the ability to give. Whether that's giving financially, whether that's giving my time, or whether that's sharing your love with others. And lastly, maybe something like this, hands forward. Lord, as I go about my business, Lord, as I go about my mission, lead me, guide me. Last thing is prayer. After hearing my story, I want to tell you what my life verse is. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. And it says this, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. What is Christ's will for us? Is it to make a lot of money? No. Is it to run a large company? No. Is it to lead millions to Christ? No, it's not even that. It's to be joyful, to never stop praying, and to be thankful. How do we do these three things? It's to bring mission and prayer and put them on the same playing field. Because as I've been preaching this message, some of you are like, this is unattainable. I have this to do, I have these things, I have these people to help. How do I do this? Because a lot of times in the church, we like to elevate mission. We got Easter coming up, we gotta do these things. We got Wednesday night youth group coming up, we gotta do this, this, and this. But then we forget to pray and bring the one that makes those things happen spiritually to bring him into that conversation. And so the way that I've been told is to bring mission and prayer and put it on the same playing field. So when you think about prayer, prayer is breathing in God's goodness, and your mission, whether that's your business, your calling, whatever you may have it be, is breathing out God's goodness to the world around us. If you're not praying, you're probably spewing out nastiness to the world around you. But when you pray, you're breathing in God's goodness and you're breathing it back out when you run the business, when you are engaged in ministry, when you greet people at these doors. Zechariah 2:13 says this, "Be silent before the Lord, for he is springing into action from his holy dwelling." So you guys want things to happen in your life? You want God to move? You want God to do incredible things? Be silent before him. And God will make those things happen. So let's be a church that prays. Let's be a church that is counterculture to the society around us, and let's be still. So two practices I want to leave you with is the first is this thing called contemplative prayer, or never stop praying. In everything you do, pray. Whether that's like when Keaton's telling me and he's talking to me on the phone and he's driving one of his tractors, I'm amazed how he does that. He sticks his phone in his hat and he's just talking. Whether it's on your tractor and you're praying before God, pray. Whether it's like Kyla will see me do this in the office, I'll just get up from what I'm doing and I'll just start like pacing like this and I'll like start moving around. I'm praying and seeking God's face. Prayer. The other thing is we have a prayer and worship service coming up on Wednesday, May 29th. Come to that and seek God and pray. And that's open to everybody here. We're gonna come into this place on Wednesday, May 29th, and we're gonna worship God. So pray as you can, not as you can't. With that being said, the worship team, you guys can come forward. And I want to end this last few moments that we have in prayer and worship. Because why speak about prayer and worship and not praying and not worshiping God? So what we're going to do is I asked Jesse and the band to lead us in the song that I've been loving. It's been speaking to my heart. And what it's inviting us to do, it's inviting us to invite the Prince of Peace, Jesus, into our atmosphere. So as they lead us in the song, I want you to pray. I want you to worship. And if you're here and you want to accept Christ into your life, I want to invite you to come down and speak to one of these, our prayer partners this morning. But let's be a church that prays. Lord, I thank you for this word that you gave me. Lord, I thank you that you called us to not be like the culture and the people around us, but you called us to be different. Lord, I pray that in everything we do, we pray, that we sit in the stillness that you provide for us, even when it's difficult. Lord, we love you, and all God's people said, amen. I wanna invite you to stand and let's worship as a church.
Birth that brought the morning, a cry that meant the night would have to end. Angel song announcing, blessed sun come down to all mankind. What was prophesied has come to pass. Hope I'm free at last. Prince of Peace, rule over me. Prince of Peace, Messiah.
Let's raise our hands and surrender. Lord, I just pray for everybody here, Lord. Whatever it is they're surrendering right now, Lord, whatever they surrender today to you, Lord, Lord, speak to them. Use the quiet moment. Use that moment of surrender to speak to their hearts, Lord. And don't let us just stop when the doors open and close, Lord. But when we go out, keep speaking to us, God. Let us keep worshiping and praising you, Lord, because we are salt and we are light. We do it for you. God, speak to our hearts this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you guys have a great weekend.